Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Celeste Belginski. And Celeste has written a great song called I Am Someone's Daughter. And Celeste is here to talk about it. Hi, Celeste. How are you?
Great, Cynthia. Nice to connect with you today.
Thank you. So you wrote a song, you did a video about it, and I'm in the video, which is exciting. So tell us about the idea for the song. What made you think of this?
Well, of course, many of us can remember that Alexandra Ocasio on the floor of Congress called out a congressman who used a derogatory term against her, and she made an impassioned speech. And at the end, she said, I am someone's daughter. And in discussing that with my own daughter, I said, wow, you know, that would be a good song, because that's the blanket that all women are under. We're all someone's daughter.
Right.
So my daughter said, wow, you know, that sounds good. And so weeks went by, and in my head, I'm thinking of, you know, words and writing down some ideas. And then RBG passed. And I'm literally taking a shower, and all of a sudden these words are flowing, and I have rhyme and rhythm. And I get out of the shower, and I jot it down, and I send it to my daughter in an email. I said, I finally put the words together for I Am Someone's Daughter.
Uh-huh.
And within about 4 days, 5 days, she came back, sent me an audio file of her playing the guitar with the whole melody, the thing we call the riff, which is always the signal in the beginning, which, you know, signals the song, and it's also, is the chorus. And I was blown away. You know, she nailed it. And we talked about it on FaceTime about two more times. And we both agreed we needed some sort of rhythm underneath it, a drum, because we did want this to be a marching song. We really need marching and protest songs today. We don't have that many. And then with that, she went to a friend's house. She's in Philadelphia. He's also a musician, and he engineered it, and they put down the drums and the music. Wow. And then that came back to me, and I got the honor of doing the video. And so I know Cynthia in Albany, and she and I are definitely women who inspire, and we get inspired by other women.
Right.
You know, I know Cynthia a couple of years now, and we come together on a couple of projects because we're both very enthusiastic and we see potential.
Right.
And so I mentioned to you, I said, Cynthia, you know, I shared the words. I did some outreach to a few daughters, as I like to say, and majority of them said yes. And then even Cynthia, we were talking about it, and at first he said, no, I don't want to do it. And then he said, all right, let me do it. And I took my camera out, and I did your video right then and there, and you were fabulous in it. And I'm hoping we get to share the link on Facebook so people can see it. And I've been posting it in Instagram and a few other places. So that's how it came to be. And I was so grateful to work with my daughter, who's very talented. She was kind of, you know, kids today. They don't see the potential all the time. They don't see the positivity. But I engaged her. I made her believe in her talent. And we now have this fantastic video and song. And we put it out to a few people. I've heard back. I shared it with Gina Belafonte, Harry Belafonte's daughter. She was kind enough to reply, you know, that she liked it and, you know, wished me peace, and sent it out to some media. But I really want all my sisters to see it, and I want all my sisters to share it, because this is the story. We are someone's daughter. We can't be undermined. They're trying to take our rights away, and I cannot leave this planet knowing that my 31-year-old and 27-year-old daughter may not have rights that I had for the last 60 of my years. So,
right.
Again, that's why we're fighting.
So, did you reach out to AOC? Does she have any idea that you did this?
Well, I think so. I am connected. A lot of the women that are in the video are from my old community of Jackson Heights, where
okay.
AOC came into being. So about 5-6 women in the video itself are from that community. I don't know if she's seen it yet, but I've heard that someone knows someone who knows someone. And again, my whole thing is every day I share it, and that's how I say it in the email, too, when I do send it around. I'd like to share this with you. So at least people
right.
may give it the courtesy of looking at it. If they can do more,
okay.
great. If they can't, understood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the new technology with, you know, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, you know, things go viral, and, you know, it's a compelling song. It originated from AOC, which is phenomenal, in my opinion, you know, and you throw it out there. Who knows how far something can go, right?
Correct. And, again, for something to go viral, it means is that whoever saw it did the nice thing and shared it. And I'll tell
mm-hmm.
you a funny story. I've been sharing it with men and women alike. And the women come back and at least make a comment. Usually it's nice or it's great or, you know, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The men, I barely get a response out of the men.
Really?
Because they don't see the urgency that women see in defending our rights right now. I love men. It's not a question of not liking men or being anti-man. It's a question mm-hmm. of who's going to help us and understand that women have to fight for their rights for going on not only 100 years, thousands of years, but
right.
in this country, it was only 100 years ago they allowed us to vote. That
right.
amendment could be removed. That amendment is not, I don't see that carved in stone anywhere. And if the rest of our Constitution and amendments are being ignored, why wouldn't that one? I was really frightened that we were going to have a challenge to our voting rights this past election, the way things were going. But I'm finding men are not seeing the urgency that women are seeing with who's on the Supreme Court, who's making decisions for us. And I'm a little put off by that. And so, you know, every woman, you know, has to tell their respective man and every man they talk to, our rights
right.
matter.
Okay. Women get the right to vote 100 years ago, and there's been lots and lots of women who have run for all offices from local all the way up to, we now have a vice president elect of the United States who's a woman. So I find it difficult to even comprehend that the right to vote could be taken away when there's so many women in elected office. What do you think?
Right, and women are the supermajority in this country. We really do have the ability to shape what's going to happen in the next few years, and especially having a woman VP, which there's a possibility in the next 4 years she may even go higher and become our president.
Right.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
this, you know, I think women being the supermajority in America right now, I think we really need to come together as that body. When I was in Jackson Heights, I was there for 30 years. And Jackson Heights became the second largest gay community in New York City after Chelsea and Christopher Street, you know, the West Village. Why? Because they came, there were co-ops for them to buy. You know, there were stories of them being denied, you know, boards would deny gay people. And so there was a fight in the community for the gay community. We had a murder in Jackson Heights, and that really galvanized the gay community like never before. It was sad that it had to be because someone was violently murdered in a hate crime. But it galvanized the gay movement. And that was at the time, this was going back, I think it was 1979, 1980 this happened. And I'm sorry, 1989, 1990, something like that. What happened was ACT UP and then Lambda Legal. The gay community, which is quite affluent, puts their money where their mouth is. Edie Windsor fought all the way to the Supreme Court. That took money to get her all those court dates and keep on fighting, keep on fighting. That's what women need to do. We have the vote. We also have money. And we have to support other women. We have to support the single mothers who are living check to check. We have to support the working women who are not getting to the positions that they deserve, even though they're qualified. They're not getting the money they deserve. And we need to empower the younger generation of women not to be subject to, you know, the opinions or the, you know, jury of men that they're going to be subject to. And that's what I teach my daughters too, you know.
Let me ask you this question, Celeste. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and here it is, the middle of November, and it's almost as bad or even worse than it was when it first started in March 2020. How do you think COVID is going to impact the status of women in this country, not only in this country, but around the world?
Well, again, you know, look who the healthcare workers are. Majority of RNs are female. You know, and you know, not to be, you know, sexist, but we also have a lot of doctors now that are female. And so how could they not be impacted? And again, you know, this is a woman who might also, you know, be married and have children. And so I think it's just time. And again, this is why the song was born. My daughter and I felt there was a need for songs like this. You know, we haven't heard many protest songs. Taylor Swift seems to always be just relaying another heartbreak with another boyfriend and another, you know, who cares about her love life, really? My daughter's caught in a tragic situation right now. She's in Philadelphia. She got furloughed in August. To this day, they're still playing games with her unemployment insurance. 12 weeks later, she has not gotten it resolved. Now, she's got a safety net between, you know, her father and I. What if she didn't? Where would she be? I couldn't imagine what would happen to her right now. And it's I know it's really making her very angry, and also just seeing a level of nonsense that is holding people back. I encouraged her to call her state senator and fight it that way too, and she says she's calling everybody, so I hope she is. But as you can see, even with the COVID, look at our teachers. Majority of our teachers are female. Women are indeed entrenched and running the country. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. They always said that, and it's the truth. And as a mother, as females, we come at problem solving from a different perspective, I think, for the most part. Men see things a little bit more cut and dry, maybe monetarily, financial matter, efficiency. Women see the nurturing, the heart, the how do we heal, how do we connect aspects of it. And I think that's going to be really important. But again, not only are we a majority in voting, we're a majority in all the jobs across the nation.
When you say I am someone's daughter, you classify it as a protest song. Why do you say that?
Well, again, we encourage people to click on the link, and Cynthia, I know you'll include that when you put the podcast out there, and then you'll hear more of the words. I'm not going away as someone's daughter. And also, we're in the March for Freedom and the United March for Peace. And that's what women want. We want to be able to have our rights, and we need peace. We really do. We cannot see our children go off to war, whether it's to a foreign land or a rally, you know, where they may not come back. And that's a rally that could be right here in the USA, and disagreement over semantics. And someone might lose their life because of semantics. So, again, right. I am someone's daughter. In the video, Cynthia is lip-syncing those words, as well are all the other 15 other women. And it's a diverse body of women. And, again, it just made so much sense. We're all someone's daughter. We're all someone's daughter. Whether we had, you know, devoted father and a devoted mother to us, or just a mother who believed in us, or a father who just believed in us, we're the daughter, and we're here, and we're not going to be treated and spoken to derogatorily.
You know, the women's movement has been going on for quite some time. You know, the late 60s, early 70s. Do you think that women as a whole have made a lot of strides since then?
Well, that's a perfect question, Cynthia, because we just lost Helen Reddy. And her anthem was I Am Woman. That song came out in 1970. Yes. I was 13 years old in 1970. And so what a gift to a teenage girl just coming into, you know, her womanhood and having now singing this number one hit, you know, Watch Me Roar, you know, I Am One Woman, you know, Don't Mess With Me. And then we had Love Story, where love means never having to say you're sorry, and Mary Tyler Moore as a single woman and out there and not married, not children, all these role models I grew up with in the 70s, I know it empowered me. I know that I felt invincible, that I could do anything, because that's what the song said. And then that, again, my daughter and I were like, where's the anthem for this generation? And that's why we feel I Am Someone's Daughter speaks to this generation, because of what AOC said. And the reason why she brought that up was the guy who insulted her was someone's father. And she said to him, how would you feel if someone spoke to your daughter like this?
Right.
So there, she nailed it, because he's got daughters. We're all daughters. And again, we needed a new song to really rally and empower this next generation. And again, it's my daughter's voice in the song. I was supposed to sing on it. And then listening to it, I said, no, she's the voice. She's the voice of the future. I wasn't going to add anything to it musically that wasn't already there. So it didn't make sense for me to sing on it. I will sing it. I can sing it, you know, as I march, because it has this rhythm to it. And I really hope that people will pound the drum and sing the song. And that's what we're hoping eventually will be. But right now, my job is just to let everyone know that it's out there. And after putting it out, we do have a couple of hundred views already. So I'm just asking all my brothers and sisters out there, just share it and keep on spreading it. And we'll eventually become more known and hopefully sung as we march forward.
Would you say that your song is timeless? In other words, it's not just for the moment. It could be 6 months from now. It could be a year from now. If people keep sharing it, no matter how long it is, it will still have the same meaning, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's very universal that way. It doesn't, even though this is our plight here in America, really, it's for the world. We're every woman. And if you've ever read about women in other countries, you know, uniting for peace or stopping
right.
a war or trying to feed a village, you know, those are all daughters that are just, you know, trying to make the world better. And that's why, too, I'm not feeling like, oh, I put it out there and nobody's listening. No, it takes a slow burn. Social media, just because you can put something out to the world doesn't mean it's going to get acknowledged. I don't know if anyone out there loves Lizzo. Now, she's an overnight sensation. You never heard of her a year ago, and all of a sudden, she's a megastar. Well, she's been pushing herself since at least 2017. She was showing up at the Grammys, you know, and with the same song that eventually became a hit 2 years later, but she would not take no. She was like, I'm going to go put on a dress. I'm going to go to the Grammys. I'm going to be in these people's faces. I wrote a song, and I want them to know it. And it must have been hard for her to get up the next day, you know, when nobody acknowledged her. You know, nobody was like, that's a great song. But she kept on pushing it, and she kept on pushing it. And then all she needed was that one person to finally say, this is a great song. And then it took off. I know I shared it with a friend of mine, I think a year ago, maybe even a year and a half ago. I said, oh, there's this woman, Lizzo, and this song, Juice. Someone had just told her about Lizzo. So all of a sudden, she was in the zeitgeist. You know, she was in people's minds. But she had been pushing her song for the year and a half before it ever, ever got any play on radio or, you know, online.
That's great that she had the conviction to keep on going. And
exactly.
She realized that, you know, she realized that what she said has relevance, and she just didn't give up. That in itself is a testament to women who just want to be out there and just keep on going, right?
Absolutely. It's got to come. And again, my message is to my daughter, too. I have two of them. And my youngest one right now, too, is also doing something interesting where she was in between jobs. She had just got furloughed in July. So she and her boyfriend bought a small scamp trailer and took off. And they've been touring the USA. And so that's another thing that's happening. I mean, kids want to rediscover this country. It's a beautiful country. It's an amazing country. And that's why it's kind of sad, too, because who among us wouldn't want to go down to visit Nashville or Memphis or, you know, go visit Presley's or Dollywood? So, you know, it's sad to see the South where I'm feeling like I may not want to visit there. I'm not feeling welcome there. But that's so sad because there are wonderful people there. This is America. You know, a majority
right.
of the people here are good, and they want unity, and they want to work together. But again, too, just to get back, it's about perseverance. I know for me, I was a community activist in Queens. I was president of my precinct council. I was president of my co-op. We had a beautification group in the neighborhood. I was a director on that. I was on my PTA for over 10 years, going to school board meetings. I was very active, and it takes persistence. We wanted schools in the neighborhood. We were very overcrowded. Well, the very first school that we fought for, we had it, we didn't have it. We had it, we didn't have it. It went back for 3 years, and then finally we had it. Well, after that, we wound up getting four more schools because we just now had a rhythm, and we had a momentum, and we were persistent. And when we said we were the families from Jackson Heights, they didn't know if we were five people or 500 people. And so with that, we just kept on pushing. Well, within 10 years, we got five schools in the community. We're talking New York City, five schools in a a borough neighborhood that was severely overcrowded. We wouldn't stop. And perseverance. You wear them down. I'm very good at wearing people down.
So, Celeste, we just have about a minute and a half left. If anybody wants to hear your song, can they hear it on the internet?
Yes. All you need to do is just go to the site called Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O. The song is public, and you just type in the search, I am someone's daughter, and it's right there. There's also a 34-second trailer, but the full song only runs 2.5 minutes, and it's really terrific, and I hope everyone enjoys it. And again, please just click on the share and send it to your daughter, send it to your sister, send it to your best friend, and let's get the word out that we're all someone's daughter, and this is our new anthem. You know, we are the majority. We have rights. Let's stand up for those rights, and let's move this country forward. We can do it. Women are doing it already. So let's continue our thrust.
Thank you, Celeste. This has been a wonderful conversation. You have been listening to Celeste Balducci. Celeste is a filmmaker, and she does great work. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire. Thanks, Celeste, for being on the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.